Welcome to the Legacy and Faith Show, featuring estate and tax attorney Paul Grant. The Legacy and Faith Show is about the journey of discovering how to create plans that protect wealth and family values for generations. And now the host of the Legacy and Faith Show, Paul Grant.
Along with co-host Mark Holland, it's another edition of the Legacy and Faith Show with Paul Grant. And we have Mr. Grant in front of us.
Yeah.
Looking a little bit more dressed up today than normal.
Yeah. Yeah, I've got meetings today.
You're heading from here to there.
I got to look good.
You run a business, a small business, and that's what we've been talking about, businesses and estate planning. Wrapping up this series today. Where have we been so far with this talk, Paul?
Well, a lot of people have businesses. It could be something as simple as we use the piano teacher example in a lot of our different discussions. We've talked about small businesses. I run a small business, have 9 employees, and so that's considered a small business. But even small businesses run bigger, and they run into 50 and 75 employees. And so they could be a manufacturing company. They can produce widgets. Well, I don't know what widgets are, but they can produce something, right? And everything in between. And business owners have a difficulty, and specifically with estate planning, there's a difficulty in blending how they manage their business and what their future vision is. And so we've talked about the different types of business structures that people could have. Nowadays, most individuals would lean into what we call a limited liability company or an LLC. And that's the most commonly used entity formation nowadays. However, some people don't have any type of legal structure around it. So they'd be what we call a sole proprietor, someone who just does their work. All the money then comes to them personally, and their CPA does their taxes. Or, Mark, if you and I had a business together, then but we didn't have a legal entity around us, well, then that's called a partnership. You and I would work it together, and then we would ultimately split the profits or expenses, and we would each go to our own 1040s as well. So there's many different structures, and we've talked about those different structures and how they possibly work. Maybe the most common business that I see with my clients is someone has an additional property that they rent. Mm. And so if you have a rental property, you are in business. You have a business because you are in the business of being a landlord, even if it's just with one additional property. And we talked about some of the possibilities of what that means to put that into an LLC and get some protections around that. And what does it mean to have protections? So that's kind of where we've been. Mm. But today we're going to change focus of, well, how do we get out of a business? So what does it mean to actually shift our vision? And what does this thing with estate planning, how do we couple these things together so that we can ensure that if something happens to us, our business can survive, if that's very important to us? And what does it mean to blend that together with estate planning? So that's where we've been, and that's kind of,
okay.
I guess, today
where
we're going to head into.
This is obviously something that's close to your heart. You have your own small business.
Yeah.
Most of our economy is based on small businesses.
Right.
Even though there's big, giant corporations, we still, the majority of us, are part of a small business or work for a small business. So it's an important discussion. What are some of the common questions then that you see that most business owners have or problems they have in their estate plan as regards their business? I mean, there's no exit plan.
Right.
There's no family member who's clued into what's happening with the business.
Exactly.
So what are some of these common issues?
Yeah. So Proverbs 29:18 says, where there is no vision, the people perish. Mm. But when you keep the law, he is happy. So when we fall in to seek out what should be our next step, then we begin to find ourselves in a greater place of peace. And what I find is that business owners are oftentimes highly committed to the now, highly committed to what do I need to do today in order to get over the hump or the problem or the concern that I have as of today. And some small business owners have actually really created strong processes, strong business plans, and they don't have as many of the day-to-day activities. It's in that sweet spot, someplace in between, where business owners will begin to lift their head and go, well, what do I see in another 5 years, in another 10 years, and depending your age, even longer term? So what does it mean if something was to happen to me, or how do I begin to envision me exiting this thing that I've created? And like you said, I'm always in the middle of this. So I tend to think as an individual long term, but not everyone does. And today, the Bible says, today you'll have enough problems of its own, so don't worry about tomorrow. Right. And yet, simultaneously, God is a God of long term vision and legacy. Mm. And so business owners often struggle with finding the time, finding the ability to stop their world long enough to think future orientated and start building an exit plan. So one of the first things that I would really want to talk to business owners is how far in advance and are you building your business with the end in mind? So what is the end game? Yes, it's a movie also, the end game, but what is your end game?
End game.
Yeah, that's right. What does it look like for you? I do a lot of coaching for business owners, and specifically in my mission work in Indonesia. And one of the things I talk about is the decision you're going to make today, in another 2 to 5 years, are you going to thank yourself for it? Or is it a knee-jerk reaction for today that is going to cause another problem that you haven't had the opportunity to stop and think about? Now, I did mention that in a previous show here just a couple weeks ago. But this is one of the bigger struggles that business owners have. What does it look like in another 2, 5, and long term? What is the strategy for me to get out of my business and actually elicit the real benefit of what I'm building? And of course, this depends on what type of a business you're in. So the small business of teaching piano lessons, well, maybe you don't have a vision beyond just, I enjoy teaching, I enjoy helping other people. And it's great. Somebody actually pays me to do that. So that's just, you know, wonderful on top. But in a business like mine, I want to make sure that I build something that's bigger than Paul Grant and that can last much longer. So I have to be thinking longer term with what does it mean to hire the right people so that I can find that blend of successors in order to take over? And am I training the people to do the work, or am I teaching them the business so that they can now begin to think themselves long-term of what would it look like if I were handed this? What would it look like if Paul took off to the mission field for a longer period of time, wasn't quitting, just had a longer gap? What does it look like if I had a health incident and I couldn't come to work for a period of time? Would that dramatically harm my business? And every business owner struggles with these questions because we want to fill in the gaps efficiently enough so that if I actually left for 2, 3, 6 months, that somehow the business would continue to manage itself and stay on the same streaming line that I've created. Unfortunately, most businesses would not survive that, not until you get to a certain level of production. So when we create small businesses, oftentimes it revolves around us, and we really don't have the exit plan. So one of the first things that I want to encourage business owners is, have you stopped your world to really map out what the end strategy is? So do you have the vision, like Proverbs said? Do you know what is going to happen? Because if not, you're on a road of perishing. Mm. You are not on a road of long-term success. Now, if we don't know what to do with the business, it's also really difficult to integrate that into an estate plan. Because if I were to begin having health issues, okay, not even if I was to die, but if I were to have a longer health issue. So do I have the right people in the right capacities in order to step in and assist my business long term. Because if that happens, my income is dramatically influenced. Mm. So am I ready for that moment? I believe that I am personally, but many business owners don't have that gap filled, let alone what happens if I were to die. So we need to have a longer-term vision that starts this game off. And what is the exit plan? What does it look like in our minds in order to successfully hand something off and keep the business flowing? A lot of times, business owners want their business to survive. Mm. They don't want it to die with them. So with that, we have to have that initial moment of stopping our world, which is tough for many small business owners. We're just busy. Again, we're putting out today's fires. It's hard to think long term. So on a quarterly basis, I take an entire day and block it off my calendar so that I can stop and just think about what my next steps are in my business. And I'm going to tell you, that's not enough. I need to do it every other month, but I do it quarterly right now.
Explain to me again, it sounds like you very much believe that this estate plan is combined, your personal estate plan and you're calling it like your business estate plan.
Yeah.
I kind of don't understand. They seem to me to be two separate subjects, two separate trusts or plans,
right,
so to speak. But you obviously see them as kind of one plan.
Yeah,
your own personal plan. Again,
yeah,
for people who don't quite grasp that, why is it you think that these are combined into your own personal trust?
Yeah, great question. And oftentimes there's two different attorneys involved, which is a business attorney who develops your business structure, your business plan, and then an estate planner. And this is what happens when I become health-ridden, I become incapacitated, or I die. Now, however, what I've just been talking about, which is, but most business owners, they consider that business such a vital part of their life, their income stream. So fine, we have a business plan of who takes over the power, but there's no plan on really who manages and controls the business or makes the decisions of it that allows the business stream to, or the business income stream to continue.
Okay.
And not only that, but specifically in partnerships, most partners don't want to be in business with their partner's spouse.
Mm-hmm.
And so that creates a conflict because the estate plan would hand everything over to my spouse, but maybe my partner would then be required to start taking over the duties with an empowered spouse because the estate plan is not properly linked and or saying the same language as what the business plan is.
Mm.
So if we have disconnected plans, then there could be a power struggle,
right,
with the differences between one document and a second document that are not properly integrated together. That's where a lot of businesses will fail and become very difficult. So specifically in partnerships, it is absolutely critical that these documents, this business plan and the estate plan, are working in cooperation to say the same thing so that we don't have any power struggles.
Okay, businesses and estate planning, the subject this week. Interesting discussion. And people need help with this or anything else with their estate plan, how do they get in touch with you, Paul?
Well, head over to our website, legacyandfaith.com. You can find past podcasts, upcoming educational opportunities, and ways to communicate with us. And it's all found at legacyandfaith.com.
Okay, back with more of the Legacy and Faith Show with Paul Grant in just a moment.
Can I avoid probate? Will I lose everything if my health becomes compromised? How do I preserve what I have for me and my family? Will the government take it all? This is Paul Grant with the Legacy and Faith Show. These are some of the most common questions we get on a daily basis, and there are solutions for all of these issues. It is time for you to protect your family and what God has placed under your stewardship, and we can help. Go to legacyandfaith.com to find out more about our services and upcoming educational opportunities. That's Legacy and Faith. faith.com.
Your photos, slides, scrapbooks, and home movies are invaluable and irreplaceable. Barry Kenny here with the Bear Services. Call us to save them as digital files to be stored electronically and shared liberally. We will even come to you so they stay in your possession. Go to thebearservices.com for more information. That's thebearservices.com.
We now return to the Legacy and Faith Show, featuring estate and tax attorney Paul Grant, and continue today's practical discussion to apply biblical principles for kingdom purposes.
Along with co-host Mark Holland, we've been talking with Paul about businesses and estate planning. One of the real common things with a small business is the succession plan.
Right.
Particularly if you have your family involved in the, quote, succession plan, a spouse, one child who does want to be involved, one child who doesn't.
Yep.
This seems like the real stress point for most of these situations.
Very much so. And maybe even the one that you just talked about, I see it a lot in the farming community, right? Mm. Where one child has says, yes, I'll take over the family farm. I'll work the land. And the other ones are like, no, I grew up with that stress. Don't want anything about it.
Right.
And you know, we're all given different talents and giftings. And so some people are driven and motivated towards holding that legacy. And specifically, you find that with small business owners, and it doesn't have to be farmland, but it can be a business owner. When children grow up in that environment, not all businesses are successful. There's a lot of stress. There's ups and downs. I've had plenty of times when my girls have seen greater successes and greater failures, and I've talked to many children of business owners where they go, I don't want the stress and insecurity of what my dad did to us as a family, which is gather us all around the table. And all of us are working that night because we got to get this project done in order to feed the family. We got to get this invoice completed so that we can have a check come into the house. There can be a lot of insecurity, a lot of financial insecurity in small businesses. They can ride highs and they can ride lows. And so sometimes the children see that and really want to back out because they grew up with that insecurity and they need to produce something far more stable in their lives. There can be family dynamics, right? And so business owners are a unique group of people.
Hmm.
They think differently. They're highly motivated. The entrepreneurial spirit is not a trait that everyone has.
How often is this the scenario that the family, not just yourself, but your wife, your kids, are actually part of the business too? I mean,
yeah.
Is that a scenario that's pretty common?
I would say that it's more likely than not that indeed family businesses are what I see more of. Kind of almost the farming mentality. You grew up and you did the hay, you fed the animals, you worked the land. And that took a family grouping to make that successful.
Okay.
Yes, there are certainly the ones that are sheltered that have a more successful business to where mom or dad is the entrepreneur and they're out working it and they just work long hours, but they come home and the kids are in soccer and they're just
and
never.
The wife knows nothing about it.
Yeah, they're just really not involved in it. So that's great and fine. I probably, from what I have seen in my experience, seen more of the family is involved. Mm. In the small business.
Okay.
That's more of my experience. So this creates an inequity, which is what if one or two of the kids want to move with the business and others do not want to take it over? So then that creates an estate planning enigma because there's potentially value in this business.
Mm.
So how do we protect the business from going under? Because again, business owners – We understand this is our life. This is what we've poured, our blood, sweat, and tears. We've gone through the ups and downs, and this becomes almost like another child to us. We are emotionally attached, even though we say we're not. We are. And many small business owners have that emotional desire to pass off the business. Now, there are some that are fully emotionally disconnected, which is, well, if I can get a good dollar value, I'll pass it off and let it be someone else's business. Mm. Fine. That's an outside buyer. That's when we can find somebody who actually has the business of helping you sell businesses, right? Business brokers out there who can assist finding an outside buyer. Now, that's a whole different road. That's cleaning up your books. That's finding, that's really making the business nice and shiny and making your employees happy so that the books really look good and enticing for someone else to take it over. So that's one way to sell a business and have an exit plan. Now, that doesn't happen by osmosis. That really takes a lot of strategic effort and making sure the business is running properly for multiple years before you're ready to really get it out into the marketplace. Mm-hmm. So that can take a multiple year effort to get that business to that selling point. Mm-hmm. We really run into problems when that is the plan, but we never come to realize it because we're working so hard in the business and we get sick or die, and we lose a lot of value if we're not prepared for that moment. So outside buyers is possible. Internal purchasers, which is either employees or family. So someone on the inside, someone that we've been mentoring, someone we've been training, that is an internal purchase view. So to the family, we may want to do a partial sale because that could give us income for long term. So if I sold a part of my business internally, then maybe that sale I stretch out over a long period of time, and that's my long-term income, almost a retirement plan to me, right? So if I sell a portion of my business, that contract can be paid over multiple years. That could be good for me as a business owner. That could be a part of my strategic out plan. Now, if it's internal to the family, I may want to gift some of what my business is. So I may want to gift some to my children and they can take it over. And instead of me realizing a value, the value is that my family gets to continue this to move forward. That's more of an internal family viewpoint. But we can also mix those things. We can have some of a sale to a family member, some of it as a gift. But now we get into the estate planning, and this is where the blending of both of these things come into play again. Mm. So now I've given a gift to one child called a business. How do I balance that with the other parts of my estate? Well, we may need to look if someone is still in their 50s or still able to get life insurance. That's maybe where life insurance can play a part, where we can actually bolster the estate so that upon my death, there's additional cash that goes towards other family members that didn't get the benefit of the business. Or oftentimes what we need to do is we need to hold that business together as a family unit so that the additional benefit or the profits of the business are then shared amongst the family, even though one person is working it. They can get a good salary. They can pay themselves as an employee, but the business is held intact for the benefit of everyone in the family. That's a difficult scenario because the one who's working it, they may feel like they're not getting the full value of all their efforts.
Yeah, the scenario we hear about a lot, particularly, again, getting back to the family farm idea, is this trying to mitigate estate taxes.
Oh, yes.
You know, on this, you know, we got, you know, 20 acres, you know, and there's a lot of money wrapped up in that, been in your family forever.
Yeah, in that land, it's valuable.
Yeah, so the whole area of estate taxes, again, the blending of the personal and the business can be quite daunting as far as what you might be facing.
Very much so. And you have land rich.
Life insurance comes in again there. Yeah. That's what you mainly need it for.
Yeah, absolutely. And some people are opposed to life insurance. So there has to be an understanding of how that product fits within the financial long-term viability to make sure that the farming community or the land is kept intact or the business is kept intact. So these are the difficulties. And when we talk about these things as a family unit, and oftentimes that's what will happen, is the family will come together and talk about how do we want as a family unit to unwind this or to look at the business as a whole. And that way we can have the child that is not interested in the business, and we can have a family discussion together of what does it look like to start exiting, to have the parents or the patriarchs to exit out of that plan. What does it look like for the child or children who are going to manage the business to take over? This is where family planning can be a really great tool. And I've seen a lot of successful conversations to get the family moving in the same direction so that we can really hopefully take out those hurt emotions, those opportunities where the parents just plan or the business owner just plans and it's all dropped on everybody. Those are difficult scenarios, but each family is different. They all have their different dynamics. And so it's really important to blend all of these things together. And business owners, you need to think about your exit plan. If you haven't done so, if you don't see the vision, if you're not sure what you're working towards, then you need assistance to bring that vision into a solid plan and begin taking the steps of walking that journey, not just the journey of building a business, not just the journey of income, but really, what is the long-term exit plan? How's that going to influence your spouse, your children, the family as a whole, with their current income and with the wealth that you hope to pass on generationally?
Okay, businesses and estate planning. Paul, very knowledgeable on this subject. He'd love to help you with your plan or any other plan. How do people get in touch with you, Paul?
Well, head over to our website, legacyandfaith.com. There's past podcasts, upcoming educational opportunities, ways to communicate with us. A lot more found at legacyandfaith.com.
Okay, Legacy and Faith Show with Paul Grant.
Thank you for joining us for the Legacy and Faith Show. You can find more information about the show and Paul Grant at legacyandfaith.com. Join us next week at the same time as we learn to build God's kingdom and continue our journey on how to protect wealth and family values for generations. All discussions on the Legacy and Faith Show are intended to be about general legal issues. If a situation applies to you, then we encourage you to seek specific legal advice. Please do not rely upon any discussions from this program in place of having a personal relationship with your attorney. Any listener question that may have been answered also does not constitute legal advice and does not establish a client-attorney relationship.